Welcome to Dysfunctional Podcast. I am Jesus Figueroa at dysfunctionalofdysfunctional.com, and today I have the press audio for Wish Upon and my one-on-one interview with Joey King. In the latest thriller from the director of Annabelle, John R. Leonetti, 17-year-old Claire Shannon, played by Joey King, is barely surviving the hell that is high school, along with her friends Meredith, played by Sydney Park, and June, played by Shannon Purser. So when her dad, played by Ryan Phillippe, gives her an old music box with an inscription that promises to grant the owner's wishes, she thinks there is nothing to lose. Claire makes her first wish, and to her surprise, it comes true. Before long, she finally has it all. Money, popularity, and her dream boy. Everything seems perfect, until the people closest to her begin dying in gruesome and twisted ways. Now with blood on her hands, Claire has to get rid of the box before it costs her and everyone she loves the ultimate price.
Can each of you tell us your initial reaction, your first reaction, you know, upon reading the script?
Upon.
Let's say that, like, you use that word. My first reaction was, you know, when you, like, when you read something and you get, like, goosebumps while you're reading it, you kind of immediately know it's going to be good. The story was amazing, and I loved how we had kind of a crazy twist at the end. You didn't expect it coming, because when you're reading something, you can kind of get an idea of how it's going to end, but this, I had no idea. It was amazing.
And for me, I was surprised how much I liked it, because it was sent to me, and I'm like, okay, it's a thriller about high school kids, and I'm going to play a dad, and that sucks. But I read it, and I had such a good time reading the script, and also the fact that I have a 17-year-old daughter, so it kind of made sense, and I'm like, wow, she could watch this movie and her friends, and most of the things I've done, she couldn't, and like, I don't know, it reminded me somewhat too of like the movies I started out in, like I Know What You Did Last Summer and the movies like The Craft, and it kind of felt like a throwback to those 90s horror thrillers that are like scary but not too, you know, blood and guts. Like it was just had the right amount of humor and scares, and I liked the morality sort of tale of like maybe you should be happy with what you already have in some ways. Like I think a lot of times we're all so caught up in, you know, we don't have this, we don't look as good as that person, we don't have, you know, and it's sort of a lesson that Claire learns towards the end of like maybe things weren't perfect at the beginning, but maybe they weren't as bad as she thought they were.
Yeah, I don't look as good as Ryan, so.
and Joey, so how is Ryan as your movie dad?
He was amazing. Ryan, great scene partner, you know. I remember we had a very emotional scene one time, and it was really hard. But when someone gives you a lot of emotion, when it's not their close-up, it means a lot. And Ryan's character also played the saxophone in the movie, and his character was amazing at sax, but Ryan was so bad. So that was always nice, but it really shows how talented he is, how he can make himself look like an amazing saxophone player when really it was just atrocious.
It's my calling card. That's what I'm going to be known for now.
Did any spooky things happen while you guys were filming at all?
Sydney, who plays one of my best friends, apparently, I heard that she saw a ghost on set, but I cannot confirm nor deny whether that happened, but all I know is that if a ghost comes to a scary movie set, that's supposed to mean the movie will be successful, so hopefully.
Can you guys tell us, what was that actual little box that you guys, like, was it something specially made, or was it like a treasure chest, or like, what was it?
There were like seven different versions of the box that were all for different purposes, like some were for when she gets mad, they made a rubber one she could throw against the wall, you know, there was one that wouldn't open at all because there's the scenes we're trying to open it and it doesn't work.
Yeah, there was a cement box. So we could hit it,
like a
sledgehammer. There was the original box, and there was just a couple variations of like all the different boxes in case something happened. There was a phone box. There was everything you can imagine.
Check out my interview with Wish Upon lead actress Joey King, where we talk about Wish Upon and a little bit about her playing the young Talia in the DC Universe and Magenta in the Arrowverse. There's a slight spoiler towards the end of the interview, so if you have not watched the movie, please do not listen to the last minute or so.
So congratulations on this movie. It's pretty awesome. I really enjoyed it. How'd you like being in a tween horror film?
It's pretty cool, honestly. I love getting to evoke emotion out of people, so getting to scare them is pretty awesome for me.
Were you a fan of horror before?
You know, I can't say I've watched too much horror because, not because I don't like it, but because I have nightmares and I can't sleep and I bug people that are in my house. I'm like, can you wake up? I'm scared. So, I mean, I really love and appreciate the horror genre, but I'm so scared of it.
So how was it during this film? Did you have that type of reaction to the script?
No, the script, yeah, the script is something when I read it, I got chills while I was reading it, which was super, super cool, and I knew it was a great script because of that, and, the twist ending was really, really also a key for me that I loved, and, I feel like this movie's super special and unique, and I love that, the way we've told our story and the character arcs, I think people are going to really love it.
This has multiple themes to it. What attracted you the most to this story as a teenager?
I think what attracted me most to this story was the writing, number one, was so clever. And number two, the director, John Leonetti, he and I worked together on The Conjuring. He was the cinematographer. So he asked me to be in this film, and I was immediately on board. I wanted everything to do with it. He was on it, the script was great, and I was so stoked to make this movie.
Throughout this entire movie, you're having to deal with death and suicide. How, you know, daunting is that as an actor?
It's really hard, you know? It's very, very scary, and it's very sad. And especially because, you know, when my job is to pretend, like it's make yourself go to that dark place, and you hope that you never have to deal with that. You hope that you never have to make that choice, and it's absolutely insane. And I think all the performances play off really well on camera, on screen, and people will be heartbroken and terrified all in one.
One thing that I really appreciated was the fact that you play an addict very well, because she gets addicted to this box.
Thank you.
How did you prepare for that? How much, you know, did you do research, and what kind of research did you do for that very realistic portrayal?
Thank you very much. I feel like Claire's dedication and addiction, and I feel like what happens to her is when she becomes addicted to the box, it's a very gradual thing for her. She gets seduced by it. So I feel like my research for the character was really just trying to find the similarities Claire and I had, and then what I didn't find that's similar about both of us. I kind of just took it and ran with it, you know? I really wanted to do my own thing and just have a cool flair, and, you know, to me, because I was so close to the box and because I was so close to the character, like, I wasn't even aware that I was becoming addicted, and I felt like I just... But then when you're that close to you, you don't even realize, but I felt like I was treating this box kind of like it was my baby. Like, it was just, like, everything to me. And that's when I realized, like, oh, my God, Claire and I both, like, do recognize it's an addiction, but it's kind of just not so apparent because we're both so close to this box.
This is kind of a different role for you because I've seen a lot of your past work. And how challenging is it to go from, you know, roles... Like you're in era of The Flash as Magenta, or, you know, action roles to something like this.
I mean, I jump around a lot, which is what I love. I love doing things like emotional, like Wish I Was Here, like you said, The Flash, and this. It's what I love so much is that I get to play all these different characters who have all these different emotions and backstories, and I just want to bring each of these characters to life in their own way and just make a statement with all of them. But again, I want them to be totally unique from each other. And I feel like each character I play will always stay with me no matter what.
Well, talking about the multiverse here, since you mentioned it in the roundtables, I think you're the only actor to be both in the DC Extended Universe and the Arrowverse.
Oh, yeah.
You played the young Talia al Ghul in Dark Knight.
Yes.
And you're playing Magenta in Flash. Hopefully we get to see more of you on the show.
Who knows? I don't know. I would love to go back. I had a great time. The cast was fantastic. Also, Magenta was such a fun character to play. I loved having pink in my hair. I was on that set throughout my birthday. It was great.
Do you believe in, like, multiverses and that there are different realities that exist?
I actually love that theory. I love thinking that there's, like, another version of you who, like, followed a different path and has all this stuff going on. But I guess I'll never know. I mean, maybe I will know. Maybe one day we'll be able to access multiverses.
If you weren't acting, what would you be doing?
I would want to be an elephant dentist. Because what's interesting, what most people don't know, is that elephants have 6 sets of molars throughout their entire life. And once the last set falls out, they starve to death because they can't eat anymore. So if I wasn't acting, I would want to make those molds for those elephants.
You know, you also mentioned during the roundtables about acting with animals. A lot of actors don't like it because they have less control over the scene that way. What attracts you about acting with animals?
I definitely get that point of view. I definitely understand that perspective of, like, having less control of the scene, because as an actor, like, what we want is to have control of the scene and perform to the best of our ability. But I love animals so much. So if I feel very confident in the scene and that I know what I'm doing and that this dog or cat or whatever it is comes in, I'm just so excited to be working with animals because I love animals that I feel like no matter what, I can always make it work.
So I know this is a big spoiler, but you die at the end of the film?
Yeah, but we can't say that in the interview because everyone will know.
but there's a scene at the end of the credit scene.
Yes.
You know, if there's a part 2 and he wishes you back to life, would you want to be a part of a Wish Upon 2?
I don't think there will be a part 2. What I like about this movie is that it has such a crazy twist ending that, I want, and also Claire goes throughout this really weird journey where she's nice and she's bad, and I want people to make up their own stories once they leave the theater, and I want Claire and Wish Upon to live on for a long time.
Do you want to do another horror film now that you've been introduced through Conjuring and this?
You know, I really love all types of genres. I don't know what the future will bring. We'll see if I do another scary, but I would love to do more of everything. I'm just very happy when I get to be working.
Is there any projects that you're coming up that are coming up that you can talk about?
Yeah, I have September, I think, the fall, I have a movie coming out on Netflix. It's a Netflix original called The Kissing Booth, starring me, Joel Courtney, and Jacob Elordi, and we all... It's such a cute teen rom-com. It's so funny, and I can't wait for people to see that. It's something I've never done before. I also have a movie called Smartass coming out, which is a movie I did when I was 15, a long time ago, and it is so cool. It's one of those movies where it's like... The craziest stuff happens. She's in the middle of, like, this race drug war, my character, and stuff gets out of hand.
Wish Upon is out in theaters July 14. Check out more entertainment news at dysfunctional.com. Check out more interviews here on audioboom.com/channel/dysfunctional or subscribe on iTunes podcast. Follow me on social media at dysfunctional on Twitter and Instagram, dysfunctional LA on Facebook, and dysfunctional on Snapchat.